The days when you went from point A to point B, and sometimes you didn't always get there the right way, but you'd grab that paper out and you'd try to follow it the best you could, that map, and sometimes you got discouraged, sometimes you took detours, sometimes you went the wrong way. And sometimes it got very frustrating, didn't it? Now, as technology has improved, we have what is called a GPS. And even with a GPS, you can get lost. Amen to that. Yeah. And by the way, you have voices on there that you can interchange, right? A male or female voice that can tell you what to do, take a right, take a left, turn around, and go in different directions. Well, back in the day when we were still reading off maps, it was probably that transition period, but we did not have a GPS at the time. My brother and I were heading, I was probably back from college at that time, and we took a wrong detour. We went the wrong way with a map. And when you go the wrong way with a map, it's not always as easy to get back on than it is with a GPS, although some may say that's not true. I can get back on with easier with a map. And those are some days that you may remember as, hey, these were some trying times. Now that we have a GPS, it seems like we don't have to think so much anymore for ourselves, do we? Years ago as well, I heard this story, but I wasn't a part of this one, unfortunately. My older brother and my younger brother, one of my younger brothers, was in a car, and they were pulled out of the Walmart parking lot, and they took a left onto a no-turn left. And there was no way to go around even before that. They had to go down to a different entrance to go around the median. Well, he did not know that at the time. And so they took a left onto traffic that was coming. And so the oncoming traffic was coming, and it didn't look right to them. And so fortunately, they survived the story, praise the Lord, but they went the wrong direction. He took a left and pulled into Toys R Us, was able to do that, and survived to tell about it. And you know what, though? There are times in life we, as God's people, we go the wrong direction, don't we? There are times in our lives where we make choices that is against the will of God, against what the Bible would have for us to do, and we go down a different path. We go a different way than that which we ought to. And I've entitled this message this morning, Going the Wrong Way. You know, we have Jonah in the Bible. He's a very famous man, as far as story, Jonah. Most everybody knows, if they know the Bible, they're going to know Jonah. Jonah and the fish, being swallowed by a fish. Very famous story in the scriptures. But I want to look at four things this morning, four parts dealing with this story of Jonah. We're not going to get into all of it this morning. I may preach another message next Sunday concerning Jonah chapters 3 and 4. But this morning, we're going to be in Jonah chapter 1 and perhaps 2. But this morning, I want to look at four parts in this story that deal with Jonah the prophet. The first one is here, we see the command of the Lord. We see the command of the Lord here in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. God goes and tells Jonah, hey, I want you to go to preach to this city, Nineveh, and I want you to tell them of the sin and their coming destruction that's going to fall upon them because of their wickedness and their sin. Now if God speaks to us today, hopefully we would be willing to obey the voice of the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, we can look at Jonah and we can say, you know what? Oh, Jonah, how bad he was. But how often in our lives do we do the same thing and we disobey God? God tells us to do something. We say, God, I can't do that. I don't have time. They're not worth it. I'm too fearful. I just can't do it, Lord. And we ignore the leading of God and shut him out in our lives. Well, Jonah did the same thing. Jonah totally disobeyed God. Now, understand this. There may have been several reasons why Jonah did this. Understand this. Nineveh was a wicked city. Nineveh was full of wickedness, and they did not have the fear of God. Nineveh was a place that they did not have the fear of God. They did not have compassion on people that they conquered. They had no mercy. They were wicked. It was a wicked city. And so the city itself was an ancient Assyrian city of upper Mesopotamia. Guess where it was located? It was located on the outskirts of Mosul in modern-day northern Iraq. Modern-day northern Iraq. It is located on the eastern bank of the Tigris River and was the capital and largest city of the Neo-Assyrian Empire, as well as the largest city in the world for several decades. This was a big city. And God wanted Jonah the prophet to go to them and tell them of the wickedness. By the way, God's sovereignty, he knows all things. He knew what was going to happen. It also shows God's mercy. Because of God's sovereignty, that he knew what was going to happen, it also shows that God is a very merciful God. God could have had that city wiped out. He could have had them destroyed because of the wickedness, but he sent God's man to do his work. And Jonah's response, you see Jonah's response in verse 3, the Bible says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it and to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Listen to what it says there. From the presence of the Lord. Jonah disobeys God's clear command. Now understand this. As I said, we can speculate why Jonah disobeyed God, but the fact of the matter is Jonah did disobey God. Whenever God tells us to do something, we may have excuses. We may say, you know what, I just can't do it because of this or because of that or because of this. We always need to obey God and trust in the Lord. It may be that Jonah was a fearful because of these Assyrian people. They were wicked. They were ruthless. He may have said, God, I just can't do it. I'm too fearful to do this. Can I say this? It may have been also partly because he did not believe they were worthy of God's grace because how they had treated God's people, the Jews. He may have said, you know what? God, they're not even worthy. Why would you have me go to them? Well, why would you have me go to these people? Look what they've done to our people. Look at how they treat people. They're so wicked. So he goes to Joppa and gets on a ship heading towards Tarshish. Understand this, though. Here's a lesson to be learned. You can disobey God. When God tells you to do something, here's proof right here of free will, amen. God gives us free will to choose. You can do what you want. You can disobey God. You can say, God, I am not going to do that. I'm going to go a different direction. And you have that right to disobey God, but here's what you can't escape. You can't escape the presence of God. For those of us who are a child of God who say, no, God, I'm not going to do that, God will chasten us. And we can do what we want, but God's presence is still there. We cannot escape God's presence. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. God is everywhere. We can disobey God as children, and we can go about our own way, but we can never escape God's presence. Actually, that ought to bring great comfort to us as Christians, that we cannot escape God's presence. We can disobey God, and we make mistakes, and we do make mistakes, but we can't escape God's presence. David understood this. The psalmist David said, starting in Psalm 139, verse 7, he said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Jonah ran from obeying God, but he could not run from the presence of God. Perhaps you've run from God this morning, or tried to run from God this morning. You have disobeyed God. You're not listening to God's voice. You're not heeding God's voice. Can I tell you, if you're a believer in Christ, you can't run from his presence. You cannot run from the presence of Almighty God. And if you're unsaved this morning, while you still have breath, there's still hope too. There's still hope for you this morning, because God is still here. And there's still hope. And so Jonah disobeyed the clear commandment of God to go to Nineveh and preach against their wicked sin and destruction to come. Notice what it says in verse 4. The Bible says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." I want you to notice this morning, this was not just some natural disaster or natural phenomenon. This was a supernatural event brought on by Almighty God. A supernatural event. You remember that as we keep going down, by Almighty God. God allowed this to happen. He was in full control of this. And so the mariners' gods did not have the power to calm the sea. Verse 5, the Bible says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Does it remind you of any story in the New Testament of somebody who was in the boat after a long day? He had been preaching. He got on with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm arose, and it was tempestuous. The winds were howling, the waves were beating, and the disciples were on the ship with who? Jesus. They were on the ship with Jesus, and they were all fearful. They perhaps were trying to do everything in their own strength. Maybe they're trying to get the water out, and they were all fearful. And what was Jesus doing? He was down in the ship, fast asleep. And the disciples came to him and said, "Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you understand the circumstances that are surrounding us? Don't you see what's going on here in the sea? We're going to die." No, you're not. You remember who I am? I'm the one who has power over this. Well, the Lord brought this on Jonah, not because he was being good. But the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Amen? And Jonah was going a different direction. This is not an example I can say of God's mercy, because God could have said, "Jonah, I'm done with you. You disobeyed me. I'll get another prophet. I'll get somebody else that will do my bidding that will obey me this time." But he didn't. He had mercy. Even on Jonah himself, he had mercy on God's man. And so the shipmaster perhaps evidently knew that Jonah had a God. The Bible says in verse 6, "So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." That we perish not. And so something was going on. They couldn't figure it out with their own gods, their own little gods. They couldn't figure out what was going on. So, your God, we got to find out what's going on. Verse 7, the Bible says, "And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah." Wait a minute. You're the believer in Jehovah. Why did the lot fall on you? Jehovah? You're the believer in Jehovah God, and the lot fell on you? No, that's not what they were thinking. But if you look at this morning and you see this, he's the one who worships Jehovah God, the one that created the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. What did he do? He disobeyed Almighty God. He disobeyed Almighty God. And God loves his people, but also there is a chastening that God will do if we do not obey. And so verses 8 through 11, we're going to read that, and then I'll go back and we'll talk about it. Verse 8, the Bible says, "Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Can I tell you one thing that we can see here, at least one thing that is good about Jonah's character? Jonah didn't try to pass the blame on somebody else. He didn't say, "Hey, one of you guys must be the problem, because one of you guys must have disobeyed one of your little gods. Or you guys must have done something wrong, so my God is punishing you." He didn't do that. Jonah knew who it was. Jonah realized, "Uh-oh, it's me. I'm the one that's causing this. My God allowed this to come upon us because of my sin, because of my disobedience." And Jonah was honest with them. Jonah tells them his God is the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Look at the response of them. These men become fearful. But verse 10, the Bible says, "Then were the men exceedingly afraid." They were afraid. They were afraid. Wait a minute. What about your little gods? What about your little gods that you put so much stock and investment into, or do you not? Do you not put much into them? You don't hear them saying, having one of those mariners speak out and say, hey, no, my God is the God of heaven. As Jonah had stated, my God's the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. You don't have another one saying, hey, no, my God's the one that made the dry land, not yours, I know that. And no, mine's the one that made the sea. None of them said that. What do your gods do? What do your gods do? Grandparents, moms, and dads, are there idols in our lives that we have more preeminence in our life over than the one who has created us, who has made us, the creator of heaven and earth? Do we put more emphasis on the fleeting things of this world than God Almighty himself? I have no desire for my children in their bedrooms to place posters of superheroes, of people in this age out of Hollywood, people that have no fear of God, people who do not desire the things of God. I want the desire to be on the Creator, God Almighty, who we ought to fear out of reverence. Did you ever wonder why the mariners' gods could not cry out to the little gods and say, hey, help us, help us? Or maybe they did, but there was no sound back. There was no voice back saying, hey, we will help you. Perhaps in their time of greatest need, this is when these mariners needed their God to perform for them. What did he do? What did they do? What did their gods do? They did nothing. They did nothing for them. I want you to go back to verse 5 and see this. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. As bad as what Jonah was doing, he was going the wrong direction. He was disobeying God. God needed to chasten him. God needed to work in his life. But these guys didn't even have the right God. They were serving a God that had no power. Couldn't help them in their most difficult time, perhaps, in their life. Oh, the little gods that we have in our lives, that we put so much emphasis on, so much priority on in our lives. We need to make sure God, the creator of heaven and earth, is our priority in our life, that we look to him when times are difficult, that we look to him when times are not difficult, and always depend on the almighty creator God of the universe for everything that we have, our life, our breath, our needs, our supplies. Jonah is very honest with them. Verse 9, the Bible says, and he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. Why? Here it is. Because he had told them. He had told them that he had fled from the presence of the Lord. Yeah. Can you imagine him telling them this? I fled from the presence of the Lord. Yeah, the one that created. The one that created the heaven and the sea and the dry land. I fled from that one. Really? Yeah, no wonder why they're afraid. Their little gods couldn't help them out. They knew something was wrong. They knew these were mariners. They knew something wasn't right about this. With the waves beating the way it was, they knew something was wrong. These mariners at least had that. And this is what Jonah says in verse 11. He says, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may become unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. It was, the waves were beaten like crazy. Tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Jonah was honest with them. I know for my sake. Hey, it's because of me, guys. This is why the sea is raging like it is. It's because of me. Throw me in. Interesting to say, for men that were unsaved, they did have some kind of compassion. Because the Bible says in verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring into the land, but they could not. Instead of throwing Jonah right overboard, okay, get him off. The God that created the heaven and the earth, the sea and the dry land, or the heaven and the sea and the dry land, throw him off. Throw him off the boat. Get rid of him. They made an attempt to get to dry land, but they could not. It's kind of a great picture of those who try to get their way to heaven on their own. They try by their good works to row themselves to heaven, if you will. They do all they can. And God, if I just do a little bit more, Lord, if I just do a little bit more, if I do enough to get myself to heaven, and when I get to heaven, when you have those scales there and you weigh it, I think the good will outweigh the bad. Oh no. In all their efforts, in all her human efforts, these men could not get themselves to dry land. Not against the God, the creator of the universe. God had different plans for Jonah, didn't he? Verse 14, the Bible says, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Don't let us perish for this man's life. Have mercy upon us. We didn't do this. We're not part of this. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. They recognized, they themselves who were not believers in Jehovah God, that they were helpless. And God, you've done what you've done as it pleased thee. But don't allow us to lose our lives because of this one man who has sinned against thee. By the way, they needed to look to Jehovah too. They needed to receive Christ, Jehovah God, as their Savior as well. Verse 15, the Bible says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. It was calm. Can I tell you, God displayed there to those Gentile mariners his power. Whoa. That sea was raging. We cast him in. Jonah said, it's me. It's me that's causing this. It's because of my sin, because I went a different direction. I went the wrong way. God told me to go somewhere. He told me to go to Nineveh and preach against their sin and destruction, and I disobeyed the Lord and went the wrong way. I went the wrong direction. If the story ended there, that would be a sad story. That'd be a very sad story. By Jonah. Verse 17, though, the Bible says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. 3 days and 3 nights. Here's the mercy of God right here. The mercy of God on Jonah. God can use you in your life if you will obey the voice of God and be willing to be used by God. But God can use somebody else if he has to. There are those who have said no to God in their life, and how sad that is. It doesn't bring blessing. It doesn't bring rewards in heaven for those that have rejected the truth of God's word. It seems like the Apostle Paul, who is going in a different direction. There's not too many other men in Scripture that you see such a turnaround change. He was going a certain direction, and God, he was, in a sense, hit on the side of the head by God and saying, no, you're going the wrong direction. you're going to serve me, Paul. And Paul said, and Paul told King Agrippa later, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision in Acts chapter 26. Paul obeyed, but he did make a choice, and he obeyed God, and he was faithful to God until the end. And so Jonah is going to have a second chance at obeying God. Aren't you thankful for God's mercy that God gives us second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances? When somebody does you wrong, our response as a believer shouldn't say, hey, I'm done with that person. They offended me. See ya. I can tell you this, if we're done with a believer in Christ after one instance where they offend us, we better make sure we are a believer in Christ, because we certainly don't have the love of God in us acting at that moment, at that time. God has compassion on his people. Some people take the book of Jonah, oh, it's a fairy tale. Oh, it's a good story, but it's just a fairy tale. I don't believe it is a fairy tale. Because if you go in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, Jesus says, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The Lord Jesus himself referred to the prophet Jonah. And very interesting, it pictures Christ himself. Christ himself being in the grave for 3 days. It refers to his resurrection. And so that is the only sign that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us in this age. He is risen. The reference to Jonah being in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights is likewise ascribed to Christ's burial, as Dr. Sorensen says. One definitive sign Jesus would give to that generation and to this day was his resurrection. That is a singular sign with which authenticated him as deity, Savior, and Lord. He was a picture. Jonah was a picture of what would come with Christ, how he would die, he would be buried, he'd rise again on the third day, at least in the burial aspect, and rising. As Jonah was vomited out, Christ arose from the grave, and hallelujah, praise the Lord. If Christ hadn't risen, then he wouldn't have been God. But Jesus did arise, praise the Lord. The story is told of some time ago, a 18-year-old from Washington State attended a worship service. And for the first time in her life, she had heard the gospel message. The next week, the church received a letter from her. It read, "Dear church members, last Sunday I attended your church and I heard your preacher. He said that all have sinned against God. Because of their sin, they all face eternal separation from God. But then he also said God loved men and sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to redeem men from their sins, and all those who believe in him would go to heaven and live with God eternally." She went on to say, My parents recently died. I know they did not believe in Jesus Christ. If what you believe is true, they are damned. You compel me to believe that you yourself either don't believe this message or that you don't care. You see, we live only 3 blocks from your church, and no one ever told us. No one ever told us. Jonah was told to preach, and he disobeyed God. He went a different direction, totally different direction than what he was supposed to. He went the wrong way. Are there people in our lives that we will avoid purposely from trying to witness, from trying to give the gospel of Jesus Christ? Maybe God has worked in our hearts and said, hey, that person needs a track. That person needs to be saved. That person needs to have the gospel of Jesus Christ given to them. And we say, God, no, I can't do that. I'm too fearful, Lord. Lord, they're not worthy of your grace. Hopefully we're not thinking that. And Jonah totally disobeyed God the first time, and then God's mercy. So how do we respond to God's commands in our lives? Do we obey God and go the right direction most of the time, or do we say, hey, I can't do that. Do we listen to the leading in his life? Church, let's always be sensitive to his voice and obedient to what God has called us to do. When God calls us to do something, as a church as a whole, let's obey God. I can say there are people out there today that are very unlovely. But God loved us enough, and we are so unworthy of his grace. How could we not share the gospel of Jesus Christ with even those who are unlovely, with even those who we may say, they're so wicked. I don't think God would get to them. I don't think God could save them. We're going to look at next week in Jonah chapter 3 and 4. We're going to look at next week what God does do to a nation that was so wicked and so corrupt, and how God even extends his mercy and his grace to even those that are so wicked. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness too.